I want to say one thing. I didn't receive this assignment because I have it mastered. Sometimes it seems like God gives me assignments that address issues in my life. So tonight I'm talking to myself, and I think if we're honest, this is a subject that we all can use some help with. My text verse, I'm not going to take time to look it up. I have a lot of ground to cover here. 1 Peter 3:15 reads like this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." My goal for this message is I want to stir your hearts and give you a burden for the lost. I just want to show you where the lost will spend eternity. And hopefully this will inspire us. Hopefully it'll renew our vision to reach out and do all that we can do to help, to reach out and help save the many poor souls around us. You know, tonight, if we don't have a vision for the lost, looking at this subject is really a waste of time. We're probably not going to make it happen. Evangelism is the zealous preaching or spreading of the gospel as through missionary work. You know, so often we think of missionaries, think of those living in foreign lands. I looked up missionary. The dictionary definition of missionary is, number one, a person sent on the work of a religious mission. Number two, a person who works to advance some cause or idea. You know, I noticed that there was no definition defining a missionary as having to be someone living a certain distance away from home. I remember, I think it may have been a few years ago, I remember Brother Luke Benige giving a quote in a message that said something like this: "A lot of times we think the mission field is a plane ride or a subway ride away." Tonight, our mission field may be our next door neighbor. It may be the person that we meet at work. And it includes the children that God has blessed us with. Tonight, it's anyone who needs to hear the story of God's love and his plan of redemption for the human race is someone's mission field. There's many different ways to evangelize, you know, by preaching, by singing, by the example of our lives, by conversation. CAM has a billboard evangelism program. There's many ways, but this evening we're talking about conversational evangelism, which is the spreading of the gospel by talking to others about Christ. First part of the message is why spread the good news. I have 2 points. Point number one, people are dying and going to hell. I put together a little scenario or a little happening just to get you thinking. Just listen as I read. You and your family are on the way to church. You round a bend and something catches your eye. Because it is dark, the glow of a fire stands out in the big two-story house that is nestled back in the woods. A second look tells you there is real trouble. There is a glow of fire and smoke is billowing out the lower level on the one end of the house. Fear strikes your heart as you race in the lane. I wonder if anyone is at home, you ask yourself. You slam your car into park, jump out, throw off your suit coat, and run for the house. As you near the house, 2 middle-aged children cry for help from the upper-level bedroom window. After a quick dialogue, you find out their dad works nights, so he is sleeping. So, there are 2 children in an upper-level bedroom. And there are two younger children who had been playing in the lower level, and a dad that is sleeping. Their mother isn't home because she just ran to the grocery store for a few items. By this time, your adrenaline hits an all-time high because you have a matter of minutes, and it's going to be too late to rescue the people in the house. There's lives at stake. It has to happen now. So much for that little story. You know, there's lots of heroic acts have been done to save lives from burning buildings, accidents, and that's how it should be. Really should be. But just think back over what I just read. You know, just in that short story, you would have to risk your life. You would give up your schedule. You would give up your agenda. And you'd probably ruin your church clothes to try rescue the folks in that burning house. But that wouldn't matter to you, because you're concerned about saving lives. And we all know the urgency that we would respond with when we get into a situation like that. And that's how it should be in situations like that. But as I thought about that, I wonder what a difference we could make in this lost world if we would respond to their lost spiritual state with the same urgency. Think about that. You know, we have lost souls all around us that are dying and going to spend eternity in hell. And it's so easy for Cliff Kreider to sit back and just let them go. You know, if you're like me, we use excuses like, I don't know what to say. Or I'll talk to him when the right opportunity comes. But, well, you know how it goes. The right opportunity just doesn't come. Or maybe I already tried to talk to him and he just got upset, so it's no use. And then when they pass away, we say, yes, it's really sad that he died unsaved, but he knew better than he was doing, and it was finally his choice. And it's true, every one of us have a choice. It was his choice. But did we give him an opportunity? Let me give you some statistics. In 2015, now this is worldwide, 2015, 59,899,174 people died. That's a lot of people. And also, worldwide, the average deaths per day is 162,116. That means there are 6,755 deaths in an hour. We're here almost an hour. I know these are 2015 statistics, but in the hour that we've been here, 6,755 people died. You know, we really can't hardly comprehend those figures. It's pretty mind-boggling. But just remember, each one of those numbers was a never-dying soul that went to either heaven or hell. Think about that. And I don't know what percentage of those are children. If they are under the age of accountability, well, they're, praise the Lord, they're enlarging heaven's numbers. But of the adults, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Point number two, Christ commanded us to spread the gospel. We all know the Great Commission. Don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read it. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Christ commanded us to teach all nations, and that includes the nation you and I live in. Like I said before, it includes our family, includes our friends, our neighbors, those we meet at work or shopping or anywhere we meet people. It's the people that God brings into our lives every day. You know, we should be ready to evangelize every day. We're not just called to be witnesses when we set aside special times and places to witness. Although that's good too. New York for Jesus, street work. That's all good work. You know, God calls some men to be preaching evangelists, but he calls all of us to spread his gospel by talking to those we meet. So God expects all of us to be evangelists involved in mission work. One excuse we use sometimes is, "I can't talk," or "I don't know what to say." And I've used these excuses many times. Turn to Exodus 4. I just want to read just a couple verses here. Exodus 4. We all know the story of Moses and the excuses he was making when God called him to go lead the children of Israel. Just want to read a couple verses. Exodus 4, verse 10. I'll read verses 10 to 12. Verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Then just verse 14 says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." You know, the Lord was angry with Moses for making these excuses. So don't use these excuses, or God will be upset with you too. You know, just like Moses, God created you with a mouth, and he'll direct you what to say. You know, probably everyone here this evening was born with a mouth and have a voice that works. You know, our voices are such a gift. They are such a gift. We take it for granted. You know, we all can talk. We all do talk. And most of us talk a lot. You know, as soon as this service is over, there'll be a lot of talking going on. And it's not wrong to talk. That's all good. But what if God would take away the voices of those who are not witnessing for him? Think about that. I wonder how many of us would be able to talk. You know, rather than worrying about what we might say wrong when we talk to people, we probably should worry about what the consequences will be for not speaking to the lost souls around us. You know, God needs, he needs our tongues to share the plan of salvation to the lost. Tonight, can he count on you? Second part of the message, I have some practical tips for evangelizing. Point number one, ask God to lead you to seeking souls. Turn to Colossians 4. I have a few verses I want to read. Colossians 4. I'm going to read Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, maybe some of you are thinking, well, I really don't get out very much and meet people. Well, this evening, I want to make it very plain. Your number one mission field is your children. Your number one mission field is right in your own home. You know, your family is the only thing that you can take along to heaven. So parents, start when they are young. You know, teach your children about God and teach them about the Bible. Teach them to be obedient. Teach them to respect authority. Teach them to learn how to work. And you can keep going down the list. You all know what it takes. But tonight, I believe if we teach them these things, it will help them make the right choice when Christ calls them. So parents, give it your all and make every day count. And just a little word to the grandparents. Grandparents, we need your help too. You can be a tremendous example of faithfulness to these young souls. And I really believe that your grandchildren need to hear words of encouragement from you. It's so important. It can be such an asset to your grandchildren. Well, how about our neighbors and the people we work with, our customers? Remember, our point was, ask God to lead you to seeking souls. You know, those needy souls are already there. We just need to open our eyes and be available. And most of us can be just a little uncomfortable or very self-conscious about imposing a religious conversation upon people that don't want to hear us. But if you start a conversation with someone, you can soon tell if they're open to hearing the gospel. You know, tonight we're not here to force the gospel down people's throats. We're here to plant the seed of the gospel in their heart. And if you and I are faithful in planting that seed, then the Spirit will take it from there. And it'll grow in their hearts if they allow him to work in their lives. Point number two, be willing to witness to anyone. Have you ever met someone and instantly concluded that they would never be interested in the gospel? And you may have decided that it really wasn't worth talking to them about Christ. Well, tonight you could be very wrong. Some of the most unlovable people might be the most acceptable. You know, it is so easy to make a judgment call on people. It really is. I work with the public. And so it's easy to look at those drug addicts and those alcoholics, and you feel like there's no hope for them. But tonight, you and I need to realize that if it wasn't for God's mercy and for someone who was willing to lead us to Christ, some of us could be one of those drug addicts or alcoholics. Never forget that. You know, I can tend to cater toward those well-to-do people that seem to have life figured out. You know, these kind of people benefit us business-wise. But a lot of times, those well-to-do people have everything they need, you know, and they're pretty self-sufficient, and they don't really need Christ. You know, sometimes the people that we would consider the lowlifes are finally hitting the bottom and are ready for something different. And they may need you. They may need me to show them the way to God. So let's never write anyone off. You know, as long as there's life, there's still hope for them. As I thought about Jesus' life on earth, you know, Jesus was such an example. He gave us such a perfect example of reaching out to the hurting and often the rejected class of people. You know, he asked for a drink from a Samaritan woman. You know, he asked Zacchaeus to come to his house to visit him. He ate with the publicans and sinners. You could keep going down the list. Point number three, respond to the Spirit's leading. Turn to Acts 8. I want to read some verses. When I thought about responding to the Spirit's leading, I thought about this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm just going to read breaking into the story. Verse 26 to 39. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It's quite a story. You know, probably none of us will experience such a direct leading from the Spirit as Philip did in this story. But if we're open, he will lead us. Notice how there's no record of Philip hesitating to the Spirit's direction. You know, when the Spirit said, go, he arose and went. And the second time the Spirit said, go, it says he ran. Well, tonight, I believe if we're in tune with God, he will bring people into our lives. And he will direct us in our conversations with them. If God knows that we will be willing to witness for him, He will bring people into our lives who are sincerely seeking. Don't let him down by neglecting the opportunities he gives us. I had a tremendous example of conversational evangelism from my grandfather, which is Harvey Martin. He's no longer living, so I think I can talk about him a little bit. And I'm not here to lift him up, but I thought of him a lot as I studied for this message, and just a lot of memories went through my mind, and I think I need to learn some lessons from him. I can still hear him say, I just love to see Christ change the worst sinner into a saint. It's such a miracle. And tonight, in 2016, it's still an amazing miracle. Well, he helped start what is today the Texter Mountain Mennonite Church. Texter Mountain was started in 1953. So I heard dozens of stories from my grandparents and my parents from the 1950s and the 1960s. Back in that time, a lot of people that lived on Texter Mountain were very poor. They were very poor, and they were a rough set of people. I grew up knowing my grandfather as a man who visited a lot of people, even when he was in his working days, evenings and Saturdays. Well, they worked that mountain hard, going from house to house. Let me just tell you one story. In their visitation efforts, they came across this very poor family. And after many visits and telling them the good news, they were trying to get the father to go along to church. And he was starting to act interested, maybe he'll go along to church. Till one time he stopped and said, I guess I can't go along because I don't have any good clothes to wear. Now, remember I said they were very, very poor. And it was true. He didn't have any good clothes. This wasn't just an excuse. So the men that were visiting him said, no problem, just come as you are, and we will come in our work clothes too. So my grandfather and a couple other brethren came to church in their work overalls and work shoes, and I was told my grandmother and my mother were ashamed of my grandfather going to church dressed like that. But they knew that he was willing to do that just so that a lost soul could come to church and hear some good gospel preaching. As I thought about that story, I had a wonder if I would be willing to do something like that in 2016, to be able to reach some needy soul. Well, in his last years, after my grandmother passed away, he would come to our place sometimes for meals, and he spent a lot of time at our shop. He enjoyed that. He loved people. And there's always a lot of customers coming and going. And it didn't take him long until he'd walk up to someone and start a conversation. And it might have started with the weather, but I knew where it was going to end. And it wouldn't take long till he'd be finding out if they go to church and, you know, do they know Jesus? And anyway, I could tell many stories, but two houses down from the shop there was an antique dealer lived, and we had a lot of conversations with him. But my grandfather, they were all in their 80s, my grandfather and another man I'll talk about a little bit, He spent hours there just visiting. They went through a lot of subjects, but time after time after time, he'd try and lead him to the Lord. Finally, that antique dealer, one time he told my grandfather, "Your Bible means to you what my antiques mean to me." Four houses down from the shop, there was an alcoholic lived there. He was in his 80s. My grandfather spent hours down there just visiting him and just trying to lead him to the Lord. Well, as far as I know, both of those men died unsaved. But you know what? They had another chance because he was willing to share the good news with them. You know, sometimes I thought my grandfather was too aggressive. But he was excited about what God had done in his life, and he was not going to lose any opportunity he got to tell others about the good news. You know, he made a lot of friends, and he also made some enemies. Really did. But one thing I know, when he gets to the judgment, God will not say to him, "You were ashamed of me and failed to tell the gospel story." You know, this evening, are you content with your efforts in evangelism? And probably the greater question is God happy with your efforts? Point number four, show an interest in what is happening in their lives. So I thought about that. You know, how are we gonna show an interest in people? I wrote down four things that will help us to be able to talk to people. You know, to the people that you rub shoulders with, the people you do business with, your customers, your neighbors, there is so many hurting people. These people may be fighting cancer. They may have another terminal illness. They may have just lost a loved one. They may have just separated, or they're going through a divorce. Or maybe they're living in the fear of World War III or the financial crash that may happen anytime. There are so many needy people. Number one, be kind, courteous, and friendly. We live in a coarse, hard, cold world. We really do. A world where you're on your own. A world where you hoe your row and I'll hoe mine. And just stay out of my life. So let's just be kind, courteous, and friendly. You know, give them a smile. Use the tongue that God gave you. Use words like thank you, good morning. Number two, be sensitive. What I mean by that is keep your eyes open for hurting people. They may be crying, or they may look very distressed. And I'll agree, it does help to know someone, like a customer you have a little bit of a relationship with, you know what they're going through, know what they're facing. But God may be counting on you to give them a word of encouragement or say a word about him. Or number three, ask questions. Remember that story that we just read? Philip started his conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch with a question, with a simple question. He said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" You know, asking questions will often give an opportunity to get a conversation started. And I'm just amazed how many of our customers are facing something difficult. And just ask them how they're doing. Usually you'll be able to tell if they want to talk or if they don't want you to get too personal with them. But then be ready to give a listening ear. You know, we're talking about conversational evangelism, but that doesn't mean you have to do all the talking. Listening is so important. You know, we should not act like we have all the answers to life. Don't just give them a lot of your own ideas. You know, direct them to the Bible. Try to quote scripture to them so they know that, you know, what they should do based on the Bible. Make them God conscious. So important. Number four, give of your time. It'll show that you care. If you take time to listen to them share about what they're facing in life, and it'll usually open doors, giving you opportunities to talk. And I need to remember that people are usually more open when they're facing something difficult. They really are. You know, when they feel like their lives are out of control, then they're ready to talk. And that's when you need to be there. That's when I need to be there. It may give us the opportunity to offer Christ, offer hope for their situation. Well, in closing, let's remember God expects us to share the gift of salvation that we have received. Evangelism is not something that just a few of us are to be involved in. All of us, every one of us, are to be witnesses for Him. You know, God is just looking for ordinary people like you and me who are willing to just speak a word for Him and tell others about His love and His plan of redemption for them. Let me tell you a quick story. January the 14th, my wife had surgery. After going through surgery and coming out of anesthesia, she was stabilized, and she was so tired, she wanted to sleep. So I thought, okay, I'll leave, go get some flowers, and eat some lunch. So being in a hurry to get back to the hospital, I went to McDonald's at the east end of Lebanon. The lady that took my food order started talking. I never saw this lady before. She was all worked up about the lottery. Well, the night before, that Wednesday night, three winners won the Powerball jackpot worth $1.6 billion. So the three of them, they each got $528.8 million. And this lady at McDonald's was so upset with her husband. She had to work that night. And he was to buy lottery tickets. And he forgot. And she said she actually hit her husband. She usually don't do that, but she was so upset she hit him because he forgot to buy lottery tickets. She had all the numbers right except one or something like that, and he was supposed to get tickets. They may have won. Well, to be honest, I didn't care about her soul, tell you the truth. I didn't care about the lottery. I could have used a little lottery money to pay my hospital bill. But my concern was my wife was laying up in Good Samaritan Hospital. So I got my food and walked away and went and sat down. You know, then the Spirit started to work on me. It's like, well, you should have said something. You know how it is. Let's be open to the Spirit. So I got thinking, it's like, well, out of a conversation like that, what I just told you, what would you say? Well, I watched for an opportunity, went over to her, and I said, You know, a few minutes ago, you talked about the lottery. Can I just say a couple things? I said statistics show that a high percentage of people that win the lottery, their lives end up in shambles. I said if I would have won that amount of money, it would ruin me. And if you would win that amount of money, it would probably ruin you. I said, just remember, money cannot buy happiness. I told her there's only one person that can give you true happiness, and that is Jesus. And we got into quite a conversation. Now, I didn't tell you this story to make me look good, because I walked away from that situation and didn't say anything the first time. And a lot of times when we walk away, we have one opportunity. Because I would be embarrassed to tell for you all to know how many times I just let it go, be quiet, walk away. The point is, the opportunities are right in front of us. They're right in front of you, they're right in front of me. We need to open our eyes, open our ears, and then open and be willing to open our mouths and speak a word for him. Well, God bless each of you as you endeavor to speak a word for him. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer.